Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we're here week after week sharing great shows and everything else. And actually, today I'm not the host. I'm the background. I'm the Roz in the background for the Sneaky Mom, or, you know, Kaz Winters, but, you know, we like to call her the Sneaky Mom. And I'm so excited. She's sharing ways to express creatively, you know, your feelings. It's, you know, it's the love month. February's here. And I'm going to bring Kaz right in so she can share what she's going to be sharing and we can start having some fun here on the Sneaky Mom Show. So hi, Kaz. Happy Wednesday.
Oh, hi, Dori. Well, an early happy Valentine's Day to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Valentine's Day being celebrated in February, I really thought this would be a great time to focus on ways we can help our children to feel loved and to learn to be loving. They really do listen to us and pay attention to what we do too, even if they act like they're ignoring our words. And so let them let them hear the words "I love you" frequently. There are so many ways we can let our kids know that they are loved. We use our words, actions, time spent together, and specific praise. We listen to them and are usually the first example of someone who shows love to them. We teach them and we work to help them see themselves as the lovable and loving individuals they really are. When they're young, we hold them in our arms close to us. And as they grow, we hug them, we hold their hands, and guide them in loving ways. For some people, saying "I love you" is not an easy thing to do. And there are others who might even assume that a child must know that they are loved. But hearing those words does make a difference. And adults who have rarely or never heard them. I'm going in and out?
Kaz, I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah, you're going in and out. So do me a favor. Can you go back and just say what you were saying again? So it's clear. I don't know why you're going in and out. Sorry about that.
All right. Can you hear it now? Is it okay?
I can hear you fine.
You can hear me fine. All righty.
I can hear you fine.
All right. Well, I'm just going to go back a little ways then. Let them hear the words, "I love you" frequently. There are many ways we let our kids know that they are loved. We use words, actions, time spent together, and specific praise. We listen to them and are the first example of someone who shows love to them. We teach them and we work to help them see themselves as the lovable and loving individuals that they are. When they're young, we hold them in our arms close to us. And as they grow, we hug them, we hold their hands, and we guide them in loving ways. For some people, saying "I love you" is not an easy thing to do. And others might even assume that a child must know that they are loved. But hearing the words makes a difference. Adults who have rarely or never heard those words have told me so. For many years, we have left smiley notes for family members in places where they would find them. When our kids were younger, they really enjoyed these, and our grandchildren still leave smileys for us. Now, smiley, S-H-M-I-L-Y, stands for "See how much I love you." It's a little thing, and it's an effective reminder. Loving words and special cards like Valentine's or others, given for no particular reason, are also memorable ways to celebrate and share love. Notes, drawings, and hearts, X's and O's, or funny little cartoon sketches tucked into lunches or left on pillows or on the table near a plate or other sneaky places are fast, easy, and effective ways to help children and adults know that they are loved. They know we're thinking of them. So listening to what a child has to say or ask is another important way to let them know they're loved. Parents are busy, and kids know that. When we put things aside and make a conversation with a child a priority, it sends them a strong message of love. Our time and attention are perhaps the most valuable gifts of love we give to our children. Bedtime can be a special opportunity for talking and hearing what our youngsters have to say. Calming one-on-one time in the evening can include a bedtime story or a little chat about the day or about interesting things that might be happening soon. If saying nighttime prayers together is something your family does, that's included too. In our family, this was also a time for silly games. Dad would sometimes take a jump rope and arrange it in a silly shape, and the kids would try to guess what it was. It was time just for them. It let them know they were loved, and it set the stage for sleep. And for children with night fears, it's also a time to reassure and to help them overcome the scary stuff. One of our kids had a challenge with this. So we came up with the idea of putting a little strawberry oil in a spray bottle with some water, and we would spray it in her room after our good night and lights out. And we assured her that the scary things didn't like that sweet smell of strawberry, so they'd stay away. And it worked. It worked surprisingly well. You know, children are bombarded all day with words from parents, caregivers, teachers, and others. And while some of those are encouraging, other words can be downright scary and discouraging. We need to listen to the words we say to our children because they affect how they feel about themselves as well as how much they feel loved and appreciated. Of course, I love you should always be included. But there are other variations, such as I love you to the moon and back, or I'll love you forever, or whatever your favorite sayings might be. Some other, perhaps less obvious words might include things like, I'm sure you can do that. I have confidence in you. I know you can handle it. Believe in yourself. I believe in you. You did it all by yourself. I am so proud of your efforts. Look what you've done already. How does that make you feel? Even moms make mistakes sometimes. I still love you. Just draw a line and start over. Well, where can we find the answer? Maybe you could begin by looking or asking and, you know, just make some suggestions. Let's see what we can do together to make this work. The loving and encouraging word possibilities are many, and each time we use them, a child feels loved and important. Focusing on possible solutions instead of problems also helps to develop a sense of self-confidence. As they grow up, our questions and comments will change to match their understanding and needs. But the basic idea should be one of love and acceptance, no matter what the situation might be. The child needs to know that they are loved, even when their actions are not necessarily good ones. Our children always have value and are deserving of love. Our responses and actions also send powerful messages. I sometimes hear verbal exchanges between parent and child that do not work for the benefit of either one of them. Because we are moms, our words carry a lot of weight, especially with younger children. So use encouraging words, not put-downs. And it's okay to let a child experience things that don't work. When we constantly rescue them instead of allowing them to learn from such situations, we send the message that they have failed or can't do something or aren't smart enough, etc. And these messages, even though unintended, can have a negative effect on a kid. Simple things like, here, let me do that for you. Tell a child, we think they can't handle something. And they, in turn, might believe that they can't do it either. As an alternative, you might discuss possible solutions, or if they're having a problem, show them some possible ways to fix it. And examine things together and trial alternatives. When a child is lovingly brought into part of solving the problem, the resulting self-love and confidence are empowering. This is part of the process for helping a child to develop a genuine self-love and feelings of being capable, smart, and talented. Self-love is important for children. It really is. And it develops when they know that other people love them. When they have experiences that help them to believe in themselves, children can see that they are capable of doing things and of using their imaginations and abilities to create things, to handle situations, and to find solutions. A kid with confidence is usually one who loves him or herself as well as others. When we spend time with a kid, whether it is working, playing, or just having a conversation, we are making memories that confirm that the child is loved. At the same time, we can be teaching them skills such as cooking, choosing produce in the grocery store, making a craft, planting seeds, doing a science experiment, reading a story, or learning to ride a bike or move on roller skates. The more things a youngster tries and learns to do, the more confidence he or she will have in his or her abilities. I can do that. And as they build a succession of successful successes, it becomes easier to handle those things that don't work in life. Because they know there are many things they can do, and they are less afraid of failing. that helps them to try new experiences and to increase their abilities in areas that they are already enjoying. Make opportunities for a child to try a variety of activities and provide interesting options too. It's easier to love yourself when you feel good about yourself. Hands-on experiences, the loving support of family and friends, acquiring skills, and even learning from things that didn't work all develop confidence, and that leads to a positive self-image. Self-love based on experiences like these is valuable and a far cry from selfishness that tries to coerce people into making us feel good, especially if we feel we don't deserve it. Now, Dory, with the timing on this, I know I'm a little early, but if you want to take a break here, I think it's a good place to make a transition. So if you want to bring... Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm actually going to be pulling up, you know, I love the life of the back end of things because, you know, even though I'm in the back side of stuff, you know, I have things, I've got windows open over here because we were having a problem with the sound, so I was going back and forth with Blog Talk to make sure all of that was taken care of. And so I'm pulling up our sponsor information. And for those of you just tuning in, we're here on the Sneaky Mom Show with Kaz Winters. And I really like what you are sharing, Kaz, especially, you know, our words. It's amazing. You know, I heard one time that words can hit harder than a fist. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, and you don't realize, it's amazing. It really is to me how something so simple can become so hard. So I just love the easy ways that you're sharing the expression of good feelings and good words. And I want to say hello to our sponsors today, if not yoohoo.org. The mother and daughter team of Debbie Dutton and Alyssa Sunger bring a powerful company making sure that children are ready for school. Only half of the 4 million kids entering kindergarten each year are actually ready to attend, and lifelong consequences often follow those children who are unprepared. If not, yoohoo.org is a free website that includes over 300 easy-to-implement activities, which take only about 10 minutes each and use common household items. The activities are focused on developing the 5 crucial learning areas kids should be familiar with when they enter kindergarten. And it's a really fun site, and you can find them here every third Wednesday of the month on the Productive Play Show. And I love, you know, how I feel. I mean, you sponsor their show, they sponsor yours. You guys are the perfect complement to busy moms that are trying to figure out how they can get things going with their kids and make learning fun. And you guys reach all ages and I love it. I love sharing you. And we're welcoming a new sponsor today. Today is our debut of our newest sponsor, Nicole Barada, who is the Jersey Cookie Girl. And she was previously an architectural designer who chose now to express herself through the edible art of cookies. And she works with people creating and sharing the results of their collaboration. And the art of creating a tangible item from a person's thoughts and words is really exhilarating and fulfilling for Nicole. And Jersey Cookie Girl's creations are homemade custom cookies that are designed and decorated to fit the criteria provided by the clients. So the designs are all personally done, and these edible canvases are a combined reflection of the client's ideas and Nicole's interpretation. So you can find her at jerseycookiegirl.com. So thanks to both of our sponsors today, and you can meet all of our sponsors in our Mompreneur Marketplace at wordofmomradio.com. So we're back here with the Sneaky Mom, Kaz Winters, sharing great ways to express wonderful feelings here for the month of love in February.
Oh. All right, Dory, is the sound working okay now?
It's working fine. I've got to now answer the girl. You know, she beeped in right as you said. Okay, let's go. All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, now for the fun part. In building that confidence and self-love, which is crucial for children, we can have fun with our child, children, or grandchildren. Because Valentine's Day is coming up soon, here are some ideas for simple things you can do together. Spending time like this can strengthen parent-child relationships, and it lets a child know that they are important enough for your time, and you're taking time from work or whatever it happens to be just to play with them. One-on-one time isn't always easy to get, but it's certainly worthwhile. One of our favorite Valentine gifts was a little love in a can. Now, the contents were hugs and kisses. For each can, we cut two small teddy bears from pink felt and put a little stuffing in the middle and either glued or stitched the edges together. And then we painted facial expressions on them. So we made our little bears. And you could use construction paper too, I guess. And then we would glue jiggle eyes on them or put faces on them and put ribbons around the necks. And we'd paint a heart on the bear's chest so they looked really cute. Now, we found some cans that had resealable lids, but you could use a jar or even just a paper bag and do the same thing. So the kids could decorate the container in any way they wanted to, and they sometimes would draw a picture that could be wrapped around it or taped in place. They could paint the container or maybe draw with permanent markers and just have fun. And you would label it a little love in a can or a jar or a bag, and that could be part of the artwork. For the contents, the hugs and kisses, of course, we placed the bear, which was the hugs, and then we would add chocolate kisses inside before we sealed it up. And, of course, if chocolate isn't an okay thing for health or allergy reasons, you could let the kids make lipstick kisses on small pieces of paper and just tuck those in with the bears. This activity provides parent and child time, an opportunity to feel creative, which adds to those feelings of self-worth and being lovable, and a gift to give someone, which can include the words from the kid, "I made it all by myself." That part is priceless. Mm-hmm. Valentine cards are a tradition, and many children like to make their own, even just a few for family or special friends. Making cards just takes simple materials, you know, the colored paper, doilies, Valentine stickers, markers, paint, paste, maybe some small silk or dried flowers or ribbons, whatever you have available. And just supply whatever you have and let the kids use their imaginations and develop their artistic skills. It feels really good to give something that you have made with your own hands and imagination. And it's a lot more rewarding than following the instructions and copying someone else's ideas. That helps you to love yourself a little more. Look what I did. Isn't it cool? Isn't it special? Don't you just love it? Self-love and confidence can grow, especially when the child sees that the recipient really enjoys the card or gift that they created. You know, when children are being artistic, it's important that we don't squelch the good feelings that happen during that process. Let the work be theirs. Answer questions if they ask, but refrain from telling them what to do. When we guide too much, a child wonders if they're not good enough to do things by themselves. Praise their work in a specific manner. An example might be, "I really like the way you thought to add that little red bow at the top of the card. It makes it so cute." Now, general praise like, "Oh, that's just wonderful," isn't bad, but it is not as encouraging. Avoid telling the child what they did wrong or should have done when it comes to creative activities. There is no right or wrong way to make a Valentine card, really. Let the ideas and the end product come from the child. When we do that, they are proud of their efforts and the resulting piece of art. As they grow and their skills improve, the quality of their results will also, and that will make them feel even better because they did it their way, and they will own that feeling of satisfaction. Animals can be made from heart shapes, and it's easy for kids to do. Just supply them with either packages of paper hearts that you can purchase or some construction paper. Simple things. And, you know, red, white, or pink-colored papers are just popular at this time of year. Valentine stickers. And let the kids arrange them and make animals or people or flowers or whatever they feel like just for the fun of it. And they can even, you know, use a little bit of paste and hold them together, and they'll have decorations that they can hang on to or hang in their rooms. We've also made love wreaths by taking a wire hanger, and you use wire cutters to remove the hook, and then use pliers to bend the hanger itself into a heart shape. Then what our kids did was they cut lightweight cotton printed fabric into strips about half an inch wide, maybe 5 or 6 inches long. And we used fabrics with Valentine colors or patterns, but you could choose whatever they wanted. We've made them in different colors, too, for different times of the year. And to put the strips on the heart-shaped wire, you fold each piece in half and place that centerfold on the wire, and then you just tie a knot. And you do it all the way around until the whole heart is full. And for ours, they usually took maybe 150 to 200 fabric strips. It all depends on who's doing it and how close they are together and stuff. And then they added additional decorations like maybe ribbons or some silk flowers. And the thing is, it's easy to do. They're tying knots. And it looks lovely. And I posted a picture on Facebook and of one of them today. And it's something that a kid feels proud of. You know, look what I did. I made this all by myself. And that's a good feeling, and it's good memories. And when my kids see it on the door, they go, oh, I made that one. I was 7, you know, or whatever it happens to be. So on this day of love, another nice tradition might be to involve children in reaching out to others who might not have anyone to give them a Valentine. Perhaps a family member, friend, or neighbor is alone. Children's handmade Valentine cards and perhaps some snacks or flowers or something simple to go with it could make a day special for the recipient and for the givers too. When children experience the joy of giving, two things happen. First, the child sees the joy they have provided for someone else. And second, they feel good about themselves and see themselves as lovable. When we expose kids to those experiences when they are young, there is a good chance they will continue the pattern as teens and adults. And that's love on a few different levels. And it's more long-lasting than getting a box of chocolates for Valentine's Day. We have always made Valentine's dinner a special occasion, and everyone was involved in making the celebration happen. Our tablecloth was red, and the table would get decorated in various ways. We'd use red or pink candles, and candlelight makes it kind of a special deal. And kids would make table decorations with simple things like pipe cleaners, beads, ribbons, tissue paper, etc. We made a lot of pink and red tissue paper flowers, and there are actually instructions for those on my website at everythingfamily.net/mayholidays.htm. I put them in there for flowers for celebrating another occasion, but the instructions are there. And you could use pink, red, or white balloons to make it festive. Just make it fun. And then we would do silly things for our Valentine dinner. For example, we've made a heart-shaped meatloaf, and we've added red food coloring to mashed potatoes to make the pink. And we'd have foods like strawberries, raspberries, cherries, red apples, tomatoes, and pink lemonade to add to the color theme. Of course, you can include desserts like heart-shaped cookies or a cake, chocolate-dipped strawberries, a fruit salad maybe, or cherry jello or chocolate kisses. And chocolate of any kind is usually appreciated unless there's an allergy or diet issue. Now, kids can help cook, bake, and set the table. That's part of the deal. It's not just mom doing it for the family. When they do that, they feel important and loved. And when they get to participate in the preparations as well as the celebrations, that makes it extra fun. When we would bake a heart-shaped cake, I would make one round cake layer and one square cake layer. And you cut the round cake in half, and you put one on either side of two adjacent sides of the square cake, and it makes a heart. And then you let the kids decorate it with frosting, and they could add berries or whatever they like. And that kind of family involvement makes a kid feel loved and capable, too. Then we would leave simple one-line notes for kids and for one another, my husband and I too, and we'd like, or you can just put hearts around where kids are not likely to find them. You know, lunch boxes and pillows come to mind, but there are plenty of possibilities, and that's something you can do any time of year, but maybe, you know, do it a little bit more at Valentine's. We've also done things like writing love letters to our kids. And those are things that are treasured and usually get saved. And make sure it includes some of your favorite things about each recipient. You know, I love you because. That's important. And sometimes you can hide notes and let the kids find them, or just throw red hearts around and let them find those. We all like confirmation that we are loved. And love can be expressed in words. You know, we say, I love you, and say it often. We can whisper, I love you. We can shout, I love you. And we can sing, I love you. We could even yodel, I love you, if we wanted to. Write it on sticky notes on the bathroom mirror. Show love with kindness and the many special ways you can interact with your family and friends. Talk about what it means to love another person and what makes a difference, and what a difference it makes to them and to yourself. You might spend time watching a movie together that includes a story about a loving and caring family. Discuss it, maybe. Have snacks and share some good big bear hugs. In my experience, one of the keys to helping children feel loved and be loved is to make it an active process. It's a two-way exchange. When a child feels that their love is noticed and appreciated, it makes them feel loved in a lasting way. We all feel valued and important when we are actively involved in something, and that's important. Remember that growing up is a process. It has its ups and downs. We encourage the love and the good, and when the tough stuff happens, as it does at times in every family, keep the loving solutions in mind as you work through it. A child of every age needs to know that they are always loved for who they are, even if what they have done or perhaps are doing is not always the best or the right thing to do. Keep saying, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Fill it with love. And that's what I've got for you, Dory.
I was muted over here because, you know, I'm up on the lake and my godson is here. And, you know, doesn't matter how old kids are, I'm on the phone. You know, it's an amazing thing. My daughter's sending me text messages because she's coming to visit here. He has all day to, you know, do stuff. And, of course, he's in the kitchen behind my head. So I had everything on mute. It never fails, and no matter how old they are, it's the one time where you just have to not have any noise around you, that everybody needs you and wants your attention. You know, now that the show's over,
I think that's the rule.
Yeah, you know, it's just so funny, though. It really is. It's just so funny to me that no matter what age you are, that mompreneur, you just slip right back in. Thanks for such a fun show, Kaz, and great ideas. And, you know, I just love how easy it is for you to share your joy.
Oh,
and
we have lots
so
of that.
Infectious. I know, and it is. It's very infectious, and it's so much fun to be part of every month. So do you know what you're going to be sharing in March?
I do. We're going to find the fun in science. Ooh. Going to see things like what floats or sinks and stuff like that, what happens when it freezes. You know, like Alice in Wonderland, kids are curious, and that's what makes them want to learn.
Cool. Well, it's so funny. My daughter, who was, you know, a born scientist and mathematician, I'll have to let her know that we're having fun with science next month.
All right. One of my sons is an electrical engineer. Science is his thing.
Well, there you go. But, you know, it's amazing the different things that you can do. So just so everybody knows, tomorrow on the Mompreneur Model Show, I'm sharing Joel and Dr. Pei, who are the husband and wife team behind Relaunch Radio, which is just this phenomenal podcast that is just exploding, and they're sharing their empowerment of people in business and people relaunching their life. And I'm so excited to be kind of turning the tables on them and letting them be the guests. And, you know, as a host myself, it's so interesting whenever I'm on somebody else's show, because as a host, you're not, you know, I'll throw out stories about my kids and whatnot, but you're not used to talking about yourself. So it's always fun to get to do that. And then next week we're sharing Managing Mompreneur Mayhem. And Sina, is it Systems and Workflows next month? Next week, I'm not positive. And just exciting things coming up. We have all kinds of new sponsors we're going to be introducing to everybody here, and new shows starting, and lots of great things happening. as we're gearing up next month. March is our third anniversary. March 5th is our third anniversary on the air. So we're going to be having huge celebrations, and I'm glad that the Sneaky Mom's going to be part of them. So, Kaz, thank you for another fabulous show. And for all of you tuning in, thanks so much for being here. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, go out and create a marvelous you.